Thankful to be here tonight.
Hey.
Enjoyed the service. Can already say it's been good to be here.
Yes.
Got my two boys with me. Appreciate them coming with me. They didn't have a choice in the matter. My wife and my daughter, though, they couldn't be here with us. But real good place to be tonight.
Yay.
A lot of friends here. It just lifts me up getting to see you and what's happening in your lives. And I've preached in a lot of pulpits. I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of pulpits that make me that nervous, but preaching in his pulpit makes me nervous. I know how good of a preacher you got. And you do too. Amen. I appreciate him, his friendship, and can't beat him. But I just want to try to follow the Lord tonight, be a help to you. I don't have anything new.
Go ahead.
Don't have anything new. But Brother Delmer Savage, I always heard him say that. I've been blessed to be in a lot of services with Brother Delmer, yes. Sister Irene. Me and Brother Delmer have had a lot of meetings together, especially up in Indiana. They really need it up there. So they bust the gospel in. I'm just kidding. But I love being here tonight. Proverbs 23, if you have your Bibles, please turn with us. Proverbs chapter number 23. Familiar scripture for you. And I just can't hardly get this off my heart. If you have your place, please stand with us. Reverence of God's word. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not.
Yes.
Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us. We pray that you'd bless us, Father, with an anointing to preach this message, Lord, in a way that gives you glory. And Father, that has an effect on those maybe that's listening, that's lacking truth, that might be walking in error. Lord, we pray that you'd have your will and way tonight. We pray that you'd give us liberty for a few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey.
I want to preach tonight on by the truth.
Yes.
We're living in a time now where things are drastically the lines are getting blurred.
Yes, preacher.
And, you know, when we worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
You can't have one without the other, and it be pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
But the cost of truth is something that a lot of people are not willing to pay.
Yeah.
Now, don't confuse or misunderstand what I'm talking about. Salvation is free.
Right.
It's the gift of God.
Yes, sir.
But truth is something that you're going to have to pay for.
Right.
And when we meet Jesus Christ, we encounter truth. Amen.
Yep.
But a lot of folks, they can't distinguish the fact between the carnal man and the spiritual man.
Right.
And a lot of folks get their doctrine mixed up.
Yes.
And Paul told Timothy, he said, to preach the truth, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
Yeah.
He said, for the time shall come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap themselves teachers. After their own lust, they'll heap themselves teachers, having itching ears.
Right.
And they shall be turned away from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables.
Right.
And the truth today, folks, is it is really hard to find. Now, Fentress County, listen, this is one of the best church climates that you're going to find within a decent driving distance. You'll find churches in Fentress County that worship, that say amen. Listen here, you get off the plateau going down toward Albany, Kentucky, and you won't find many amens. But anyways, having a desire for the truth and knowing the cost of it, first of all, is what is it worth to you to want to know truth, to want to be related? I'm talking about being rightly related with God, having a relationship with Him, being right with God.
Right.
A lot of folks, listen, a lot of folks get saved and they just don't grow.
Right.
They go their whole life growing carnally, but they don't grow biblically and spiritually.
Yes.
I preached last night about there's a lot of folks that they just throw their life to chance, their children to chance.
Right.
And maybe they'll work out. Maybe they'll sow their wild oats and get over their wild spells. No. Children need to be trained.
Yes.
Christians need to have a vision.
Yes.
Christians need a plan.
Yes.
And I've tried to raise my family with a plan. I didn't want to just go happenstance through this. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. It don't mean that God can't reach into the mire and pull you out of a sinful degradation. It don't mean that that can't happen. But we are instructed as God's people, as Christians, to sow good seed if we want to bear fruit. You've got to mean to sow seed. And so how much are we willing to invest to have access to the truth? How much are we willing to pour out to access the truth? And so, listen, it's all about valuability. How valuable is it? And to you want to have that relationship that is actually improving and growing and walking with God. But listen, it'll cost you a few things. It'll cost you some preconceived ideas, some opinions that you might have formed without examining the rest of the evidence. I mean, listen, here in Southern America, a lot of times we just go off what we assume is the truth instead of wanting to get into the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm talking about digging in His Word, coming to Sunday school, coming to Bible school, being attentive, not just being proud. Listen here, a lot of us Southerners now, if we ain't very careful, we'll buy into this honky-tonk culture and we'll be proud that we're stupid. I mean, ain't that about right? And it has such a powerful effect on the honky-tonk culture, has such a powerful effect on folks in such a way that we just don't really understand. And so our life is going to be saturated with something. Why not saturate it with the truth? Because the truth will set you free. The truth will bring you out of bondage. It'll bring you out of turmoil. And it'll cause you to have a right relationship with God that'll bring about peace in your life. Not many people have peace these days. But a lot of people, we live in a podcast era where a lot of folks, their opinions are everywhere. And people are forming them and without a proper examination of the evidence. But also there's predetermined conclusions. I mean, decisions that you make before you hear the whole truth. And listen, a lot of folks, they're operating their life off a whim of what they think is the truth. But listen here, there's predominant positions. I'm going to stay right here for just a minute. Beliefs that you hold simply because they're familiar or because that they're popular or because they're traditional. Hey, listen today, folks. There is so many folks that they continue in a dead, derived state and they don't never, ever, ever find victory in the truth. And listen, over west of where I live in Pickett County in Burstown. When you start going west, you get into Tompkinsville, Salina. That's big time Church of Christ country. I'm not here to throw off on the Church of Christ, but they don't like me that well. And I'm not picking fights or anything, but they come wanting to fight. And so I am well prepared to discuss it with them. And I always remind them, look, dude, you're the one with the problem. I was sitting here. But... they've took error just because, listen, if all you take is the beginning of the book of Acts when Peter was talking about repent and be baptized, yes, you're going to believe that you have to have baptizing to have a immersion or to have a regeneration. But John the Baptist was very clear. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, Paul said that. John the Baptist said, he said, I do indeed baptize with water under repentance. He said, but lo, there cometh one after me whose shoes latches. I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose, and he shall baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. Listen to me now. John the Baptist was talking about his identification, and what was to come was better than what he was offering. But as Paul was talking about to the carnal people at Corinth, he said, listen, besides Crispus, Gaius, household of Stephanus, he said, I don't know if I baptized anybody else. I'm not keeping up with it. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So if all you know is that somebody tells you got to be baptized, yes, we believe in baptism, but our New Testament doctrine comes from the Pauline epistles, and it tells us that it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. Actually, Peter told us that. But nevertheless, the Apostle Paul was very distinct that Christ sent him to bear the gospel, to preach the gospel, that he wasn't in the baptizing business, that yes, we follow the Lord. I believe that's the first act of obedience that we should desire, to be baptized. Absolutely. Following Christ, that's what we should do to get off to a good start, amen? But listen, and then people will bring up things that are not sound doctrine, just like how you lose your salvation. Well, according to my Bible, he gave us eternal life. I'm not going to discredit that. Now, listen, I know here in Fentress County, I know the climate and everything, and I'm not looking to pick fights with nobody. I've preached in a lot of churches that don't believe that way. That's fine. But I will tell you this. What sin is it that constitutes you to lose your salvation? Can you tell me? Because let me just tell you, the blood that Jesus shed has power over sin. And it is how it were justified judicially in God's sight. God had an answer to the sin problem, and God don't accept anything short of what he provides.
That's right.
He gets all the glory, not me and you.
Right.
And if we kept ourselves saved, we're not doing a good job of it.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Preach on.
I have a lot of people that say, well, the Bible says in Galatians that you did run well. Who did hinder you? You fell from grace. All these different verses. Okay, what about Matthew 24? Them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, you listen, first of all, you got to be a dispensationalist. You got to be able to rightly divide the word of God. That's talking about an Old Testament setting in the future tribulation period. I want to help you with something here tonight. And I'm not trying to pick at doctrine. I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm not looking for fights. But what I am looking for, and I'll listen to anybody that wants to dispute, but I'm not an arguing business. But one thing for sure is I'm in the truth-seeking business. Amen. And I want to tell you that whenever people's talking about being able to lose your salvation, what that does is it discredits what Christ can do and his eternal power and glory. Hey, listen, that's why a lot of people today, they worship man more than they worship God. So what is that point? The Bible said him that offend the law, in one point, he's guilty of the whole law. Hey, the Bible said Romans 10:4 that Christ is in law for righteousness. To everyone that believeth, listen to me now. I want you to know that when Jesus does something, he does it well. He does it good. Now, I want to tell you today that just because you say you're saved does not make you saved. It does not make you saved. Now, I'm not trying, like I said, I'm not trying to be critical, but in Galatians, whenever they was talking to Paul was talking to saved people, he said, you fell from grace. He said, you fell from the doctrine of grace. He was talking to church people. They were being constrained to go back under the law to be circumcised. I love what Paul said. He said, henceforth, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Hey, listen to me now. They were trying to go back under the law, back under bondage. And listen to me when I tell you those Galatians were a lot like us Fentress Countyans today, is that we just take what somebody says and we don't hear the rest of the matter. It's a comfortable, predominant position because grandma believed it, grandpa believed it, mom and dad believed it. Listen to me now. I tell you, we have to grow. We have to change. And if we stay like mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, I'm telling you, we will die and be ineffective. But a lot of people, they think, well, you're preaching liberal. You're preaching. No.
Nope.
It's the word of God. It's Bible. It is. And, but anyways, we go.
Preach, brother.
But also predictable outcomes. The results you expected before the truth disrupted your plans. Hey, listen, I was sitting at the kitchen table this afternoon and I was thinking about I'm so happy. Listen, my grandmother, Chloe, she was one of the best women I ever knew. And she believed in some doctrines that I do not believe in, but she's still God's woman and she still shined a light. She still had a testimony.
Sure.
And by the way, we live in a free country. You can be wrong if you want to be. Amen.
Right.
But listen, just because she didn't have all the doctrines just pinned down just right, it doesn't mean that she wasn't saved and it didn't mean she didn't love the Lord. What it didn't mean was that she was kind of shortchanging herself a little bit. But at the same time, a lot of that rests on leadership, on pastorship, on evangelism and education, scriptural education. But anyways, nevertheless, I was going through life, and when I was a young man, I thought I was keeping myself saved. I thought I was doing a good job behaving. I thought everything was working out real good for me. I'm doing good. I'm God's man. I am holy. Praise God. I'm right. If these people could just get to the plane that I'm at, then they'd be doing well. I'm so happy that the truth found its way in my direction, and it interrupted my plans, and it showed me the valuability of humility. And the Bible tells me to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he'll exalt us. You ain't never been lifted up like you get lifted up whenever you give all the glory to God. You ain't keeping yourself saved. And your water baptism, I had people to come to me. I visited somebody not long ago. They said, I belong down there at the Gospel Baptist Church. I've never seen them in my life. They said, the preacher down there saved me and baptized me. And I said, well, bless your heart. I said, I can't save anybody. I don't know how in the world that fella could save anybody. I said, we're just in trouble if we got got preachers saving us. I said, have you ever been born again? Have you ever met the master? Have you ever want to, has ever been changed? Have you ever took sides with God against yourself? I mean, have you ever been redeemed? I'm talking about bought back. I'm talking about being set free. Your whole life rearranged. I'm glad that the truth has intervened in my life multiple times, and it has showed me that I was wrong and he was right. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. I'm glad that the truth disrupts our plans. But listen here. You can't buy the truth while holding on to everything the truth came to correct. I ain't here to just talk about doctrinal truth. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know what amazing grace is. I know what it was back when Brother Harold Slavin preached. I know what it is now. It's a great church that believes right. Amen. That supports missions, that grows. That congregation is growing. I know a lot of people, they'll say, well, you got to be a compromising for it to grow. Absolutely not. You just need to be attached to the vine for it to grow. Amen. That's right. But listen here, a lot of folks, they'll think that, hey, listen, they can get somewhere with God while holding on to everything that the truth has come to correct. And the companions of the truth, that the Bible even states right here in verse 23, it says, sell it not also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so I count truth to be valuable, and I need its companions in my life. And the companions of the truth, listen here, is wisdom, as you see here in this verse, ability to apply the truth rightly. Hey, listen, instruction, the willingness to be taught by truth. Hey, listen, continually. Understanding, it teaches us why it matters and how to implement it. Where the truth is welcome, wisdom grows. Instruction is embraced. Instruction is embraced. And listen here, we have a time now where you can't tell anybody nothing. They know everything. Folks don't want to be pastor. They don't want to be discipled. The church, we don't need to just see people get saved. We need to see people grow and help other people get saved. You weren't just saved to get saved and sit on your hands. You was saved to shine a light. And listen, when God turned the light out, when he turned the light on in your heart, it ever seeks another. That's a great identification to know if you're born again, as well as knowing you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. Only divine love can make you love everybody else. How about he's without chastisement is a bastard, not a son. Listen to me now. I'm telling you that there is some identification of Christianity. But listen, whenever the truth has made its way and the companions that travel with it, listen, it starts transforming you into a mature Christian. That's an asset to the church. That's a help to the pastor. That's a light to the younger generation. That's a comfort to the elders. I'm telling you, the truth is not just cut and dry about doctrine. It ever seeks another. It is wonderful. The truth is wonderful. When Jesus came, it was the churchy people that couldn't stand him.
That's right.
And so he said, that's fine. I'll save this old sick leper. I'll throw the demons out of this demoniac.
Right.
Amen. I'll forgive this old whore.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
This blind man, I'll just spit in some mud and give him some sight.
Yeah, brother.
Amen. He come to help everybody nobody wanted.
Right.
You know how many churches are too big for, they think they're too big for God. They think they've got the truth, but they've missed it altogether. Jesus came for the people that nobody wanted. And that's hallelujah. Listen here. We are blessed that the truth come looking. He come looking for me and for you when we didn't deserve it. But a lot of folks, they're not embracing wisdom. Listen, instruction teaches us how to do it, how to live according to the scripture. You can't live a Bible that you've not learned. No wonder if your marriage is a mess, well, you've got to have to study that Bible, learn how to be a godly husband. If your children have gone awry, you've got to understand, mom and dad, you've got to understand your will of God is, listen, quit waiting for some mysterious angel to sit down beside you and give you a vision in the water. God operates through his word.
Amen.
Hebrews says, a God who at sundry time and divers matters spake a time past to the prophets, but in these latter days he's spoken to us by his son.
Yes.
Amen. And so, listen, we have this Bible to teach us, and God's will is in the lids of this book.
Right.
And so, listen, whenever we start to grow and we start to mature in truth, it starts to have a dynamic in our lives where we become mature and we become helpers instead of the people that's always needing help. We become the folks that are problem solvers instead of troublemakers. And listen, whenever a church starts getting a hold of truth, it starts becoming a force. I'm talking about a heavenly, supernatural force that people that's out there lost and undone, they see that you've got something that they don't have and they want it. Amen. Well,
praise God. And
understanding teaches us why it matters and how that we can implement that.
Yes.
Understanding. That's important. Now, we could go through a whole lot of scripture here talking about, you can go to your index and look up truth, understanding, instruction. You could look up these words, and I encourage you to do so. In today's time, though, where truth is not welcome, where truth is welcome, first of all, wisdom grows, instruction is embraced, and understanding deepens. And rejecting the truth has the opposite effect. When you reject the truth, it has the opposite effect. And a lot of folks, they don't realize the rebellion that they regard in your heart. First of all, you need to distinguish and understand, are you born again?
Oh, brother.
I'm not here to cause anybody to doubt. Absolutely not. But I am here to tell you the Word of God will put what you have to the test.
Yeah.
It sure will. And you know, I ain't what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I know that I'm not what I used to be. I know what's in my heart. I know it. I know I love the Lord. Though I fail Him, I know He loves me back. And the only reason I can love Him is because He first loved me. But rejecting the truth, it has this opposite effect. And its companions, they go on with it.
Go ahead.
And you know, then instead of wisdom, you get foolishness.
Uh-oh.
I mean, have you ever seen such a time where folks are so foolish in their behavior?
Yes.
Where folks are haughty and they're always offended? My grandmother Chloe used to say, you've got to think highly of yourself to always be offended.
Right.
You do.
Good.
Oh, listen, I've been pastoring for 22 years. I've had people to come in and they be offended about something that don't amount to anything.
Right.
And I am thankful. The 22 years I've been pastoring, I've not had to go through a church split. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, brother.
That's a blessing from the Lord. But the 24 years I've been preaching, I've seen a lot of churches that has. I've seen a lot of errors. One of the hardest things for me in the ministry is seeing folks go the wrong way. See them come to church and see the light appear to them and then them see them turn it away.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I there's a lot of times where I just want to go home and I go home with a broken heart and I carry a burden and I'm thinking, Lord, am I even doing a good job? What am I doing wrong? Am I not shining the light? Am I not being effective? Is it my fault? And boy, listen, I don't know about you other preachers, but every time I see somebody go the wrong way, it breaks my heart. But I've had to learn to just continue being that light and let God deal with the results. And I can't make everybody receive the light. I can't cause them to reject the light. But we are in a time now to where folks have just told the truth. As Paul told Timothy to keep preaching the word, he said, but guess what? They're going to get to the place where they won't endure your sound doctrine anymore.
That's
doctrine is like the grandma that everybody loves when she's around, but we have a better time when she's gone. Hey, doctrine is important. It's the teachings of the Bible. And this Bible has taught me today that my ways are error and God's ways are right. My ways are foolish. His ways are wise. And so God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm glad today. And you know the way people behave in the world. Everybody's kind of like, they look at Christians as innocent people that just don't know how to have a good time. That little preacher down there at Amazing Grace, and they may be 4 foot tall, but they're living in sin, and they look at you and they look down at you. Listen here, that's the way the world looks at Christianity. Hey, don't look down on my Christianity today. I serve a great big God, and listen here, He has been big and real in my life, and you listen. I know a lot of folks today. I live down the road from some folks. I went by to visit them and invite them to church. And I knocked on the door and they were scampering. They didn't think I could hear them. I don't know why. This woman, she's about 4'5", and this sticks under my crawl to this day. And she walked back there and I could hear her stepping through the floor. And she said, that little preacher's out the door, knocking on the door. I thought, little preacher, I'll smack a lung out of you in the name of God. I know I ain't supposed to hit women, but I could shake her, couldn't I? I can shake her a little bit, can't I, Delma? And her husband come to the door, and of course, I ain't the type of person to cow down from a fight. And I'm like, he goes, I said, it's the little preacher. I wanted to invite you to my little church and let you hear my little message. That you might get to know a great big God.
Go ahead.
She left him. I don't know if it's because of that or not. But she left him. He turned to alcohol. I went back and visited him. I said, sir, I said, I just had you on my heart. I'm not here to tell you what to do, push you around. I said, but you seem like you got a good disposition about you. You're a friendly person. I said, I'm not here to cause any harm. I said, but that little drink in your hand's going to kill you.
Oh, brother.
I said, I meant sincerity whenever I stopped by. And I said, forgive me if I seemed a little bit off-putting. I said, but I want you to know I meant business by stopping to seeing you, that I care about you. And he said, that means a lot to me. I said, well, where's your gal at? He said, well, she's run off with another man. He said, this is the third time it's happened to me in the last 10 years. I said, I can tell you how to put a stop to that. I said, why don't you get right with God? Why don't you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, instead of looking for women at the bar, you'll start looking for them at church. Right? Instead of doing what you want, you'll start doing what he wants. I said, I'm just telling you the truth. Your life could be a lot better than what it is.
Right.
And I kid you not, he told me, he said, I know I'm a fool. I said, I didn't say that. I said, but you are a sinner. I said, God, but Jesus is in the sinner-saving business.
Yeah, brother.
I said, you know all these self-righteous people that you've looked at and gave you a bad opinion of church. I said, who knows what they've thought, what's went through their minds. Who knows their secret places. I said, don't let the shame of your sin knock you out of the forgiveness and redemption that Jesus offered. And then I went to quoting him, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. David said, I waxed old through my roaring all the day long. My moisture is turning to the drought of summer. Listen here. But then on down in that chapter, he said, I have acknowledged my sin unto thee. Amen. My sin have I not hid. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, if you're here and you're unsaved, you've never been saved. You've never come in contact with the truth. It'll change your life. Yeah. It's not bondage. It's deliverance.
Yeah. Yes,
amen.
Sir.
It's deliverance.
Yeah, boy.
But there's ignorance instead of understanding. There's confusion. There's confusion. And listen, you cannot get to a place in your life and expect clarity, success. Yeah, you may, listen here, if you're going the wrong way and you may be here and you may be saved, but your flesh has got too much influence in your life. By the way, when you get saved, you enter into a battlefield.
That's right.
And this flesh is your number one enemy, right? And I want to tell you today that Satan is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. So the Bible said for us to be sober and to be vigilant. Listen here, you can't, a lot of people, and these things I'm talking about are truths. And and people, listen here, especially the middle-aged people in today's culture. I mean, they can't handle it that they're getting older. They can't, they see their children come up and they see their youthful lusts and them youthful lusts starts warring against their soul and they'll sell the truth out. They'll sell that wisdom out. They'll sell it out for foolishness.
Yes.
Listen here. They'll sell out the instruction for ignorance. And listen, this confusion that people's living in and the sellout that's going on, the massive sellout of the truth. What's happened is that they've got to a point to where they have empty voids in their hearts and life, and they're experiencing depression and anxiety. Those are terms that you didn't hear much about when I was growing up, but these are real things. Spiritual problems lead to mental problems. Mental problems lead to physical problems. I'm here to tell you right now, a lot of folks, they need to come in contact with the truth. The truth will set you free. Jesus saith, I am the truth. I am the way, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, listen, I love truth, and I love its companions here, but I want to try to come to a close here in just a few more minutes, but I don't know what God has in store for each and every one of us here tonight, but I do know that he knows the hairs on our head, even if they're leaving us, amen? I know that he knows all. And he's got us, listen here, and he's got us in the hollow of his hand, and he's taking good care of us. Amen. So we ought to give him glory. But when you throw truth out the window and you sell it out for carnal lusts and desires, hey, listen, once truth has been purchased, it has to be protected. It can't be traded. It can't be twisted. It can't be turned aside. It's got to be fought for and protected. Hey, listen here, you think that Amazing Grace, and it is a great church. I'm talking a King James Bible church, but not only that, hey, you can be just as wrong carrying a King James Bible as anything else. How about this ought to be a place to where the Holy Ghost is welcome, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Hey, listen, where the truth is welcome. The Spirit of truth shows us His truth. And so tonight, folks, listen, but this don't happen and it don't maintain itself without some folks that know how to fight for it. I'm talking about earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'm talking about having a zeal for truth, wanting to be right with God. It ain't just about having all the doctrines right. It's about all the little, all the jots and tittles of truth that people ignore. I'm talking to you kids. Hey, how about obeying your parents and the Lord, for this is right? How about honoring thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be longed upon the earth? Hey, how about fathers, don't provoke your sons to wrath? Amen. How about mothers, teach those younger children? Amen. But there's a lot of verses of scripture we want to avoid. We kind of skirt around. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you'll get in the truth, I mean, how many men want a submissive wife? Well, it'd be a lot easier for her to submit to you if you wouldn't sorry. Amen. If you'd go to church, if you'd carry a Bible under your arm, if you'd pray, if you'd testify, hey, she wouldn't get so bitter. She'd follow her. She'd come a lot more near following a man that would love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Hey, listen today, folks. Miss Tracy is my darling. I worship the ground she walks on. God gave me to her to provide, to protect, to be my companion, my helpmeet. I praise the Lord for her. And let me just tell you that, hey, folks, she is my wife that God gave to me, and she has been submissive and reverential. But she told me one day, she said, I can see why women behave the way that they do. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's in my nature. It's in our nature. That's why we have these powerful emotions to be mothers. But when God gets a hold of those powerful emotions that you women carry, it makes you superheroes that raise up godly children. Amen. There is no woman that should feel beneath here tonight. Hey, listen, I love reading about Mary when she said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Boy, whenever you meet some women, some Holy Ghost old time women, amen, that know, hey, listen, you can tell that they've been walking in the King's garden. Hey, there's a fragrance about them. There is a joy. There's a presence about them where they know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Yes, right.
But there's a lot of men, they just simply won't get in the book and do what it says. They've sold out the truth. Amen. Rather run around and do their hobbies and miss church. Amazing Grace, you know, it's a large church, a growing church. But I guarantee you, God's looking for more. Amen. But a lot of people now, they've exchanged the messages for truth, the teachings of truth, for more relevant, more acceptable, less offensive messages. I was thinking on the way up here, I'm thankful to be driving up to the land of Delmer Savage and Harold Slavin,
right.
Billy Mitchell, Arthur Nance.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yeah, brother.
I'm glad to be traveling up here. Amen. There's some more. I'm just escaping my mind. But what a wonderful heritage this area has.
Yes.
It ain't like this in other places.
Right, preacher.
Amen. But the reason being is because somewhere along the way, a lot of folks, they looked at the truth as something that they can manipulate and they could twist. The truth is not ours to editorialize.
That's right,
brother. It's not ours to sanitize. It ain't ours to modernize.
Yep.
Amen. It's His truth. Amen. It's ours to follow.
Yeah.
It's ours to be. And I want to challenge you today. You know, whenever I was and I preached this other night about having a plan. Whenever I was a young man, the Lord saved me and He put it on my heart. I wanted to be a good dad. I wanted to be a husband that brought his wife joy. Amen. And I wanted the Lord to use me. I didn't want to be put on a shelf. Now, I've sure had my trials, and just as well as you have too. But let me tell you something. The truth is what has kept me grounded. My emotions ain't always been where I've wanted them.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
But I know if I abide in truth, amen.
Yes.
He's going to take care of me. You know, I love Psalms 23 where it says he leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake.
Yes, sir.
But whenever we get to the place to where we change this message to gain influence or for some prestige, sacrificing the truth for recognition, maybe even some possessions, maybe we'll start kind of getting a little less faithful because we're putting a higher premium on material things instead of spiritual things. Amen. Listen here, you may think that good job was from God. Let me tell you, I've seen a lot of good jobs get people out of church and turned out the devil gave it to them. Amen. Anything that God does ain't going to get you farther away from him.
Right.
Amen. And it may cost you a little money. It may cost you some friends. It may even cost you some family.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got family that I love, and I'm good to them, and I see them when I see them, and I tell them I love them. They don't owe me nothing. I have no problems, but they can't stand me. And the only reason they can't stand me is because I didn't do what they wanted me to do. And that breaks my heart. I'm still a gentleman to them, but I can't fool with them. But I keep on shining my light and keep on trying to be a blessing. Amen. I don't want to put a higher premium on material things. The temptation to sell the truth, folks, it lives in every one of us because we have this flesh to contend with. And listen, the truth makes people uncomfortable. It does. And so when we sell that truth for convenience, listen here, we quit being its advocate, and we quit trying to serve God from singleness of heart, and we're looking for man's approval.
Right.
And let me just tell you today, the benefits of walking with him, it outweighs all the benefits of being a carnal man or a woman. And so the cost of holding to the truth, listen, the cost of holding to the truth is too far valuable. Listen here, the truth is way too valuable to give it up. It can, hey, listen, it can benefit, it can set a precedent and a narrative in your family for generations. You can grow up in a drunkard's home, and all it takes is for one person to get saved. And let me tell you something, God take root in that family, and then generations of servants will come out of that. I've seen it happen. I want to tell you today, folks, that a lot of people, whenever you think of truth, I don't think of cold truth. Listen, I could get up here and give you cold truth and talk about all the ins and outs of doctrines. Hey, listen, I grew up with folks telling me that the church was a mother and that the church had to pray and burden and give birth before people could be saved. That's nowhere in the scripture. Amen.
Right.
Church ain't married yet. We're a chaste virgin without spot or blemish. We're adorned for the bridegroom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Better believe it.
Amen. And all the other doctrines I was talking about, listen, people get twisted up there in the book of Acts and they start getting confused. Down where I'm from, you got a lot of tongue talkers and a lot of miracle workers. That's unfortunate. They like to come and try to draw swords because I have a Christian school and we teach the opposite of those things. And so that makes a lot of people unhappy. I've been longing for Jamestown for some time. I'm not a very well-liked man in Clinton County. And because I'm from here and I'm bringing our brand of church to them and they ain't really wanting it. But there's a few of them that are, and they go to church with me. Amen. There's a few of them that are, they go to church with me. But anyways, but these things are real. Just an error can just take over real quickly. But I'm not here just to give you cold truth about doctrine and particulars. I'm telling you right now, there is a desire that should be in each and every one of our hearts today to have a yearning and a heart felt pull toward the truth for our lives. I'm talking about being honest with yourself, spiritually honest, to where you are that man for your children. You are that woman of faith for your children. And children, where you are, listen here, I've seen a lot of children get a hold of the light, and carnal parents just hold them back. They don't even realize it. They don't even realize that they're not fanning the flame. They're throwing cold water on it. Oh, no, no, no. Get behind them when those church doors are open. Get in there. Amen. When revival comes to town, hey, it's time to get in there. Whenever it's time to go door knocking, it's time to get in there. Because there's souls that's dying. And there's folks that need Jesus. And it's our job. It's our responsibility. It is our indebtedness to bring the gospel to sinners just like me and you.
Right.
Amen. Well, truth is too valuable for me to sell it out for these things. And let me tell you something. You and me, we may pay dearly for it, but we can't afford to lose it.
You're right. That's right, preacher.
We can't afford to lose it.
Right.
Hey, there's churches in this town here, just in a real quick jiffy. The validity of the King James Bible doesn't mean anything now.
Right. You're right.
Amen. There's churches in this town, in this very county, to where it don't really bother them. It don't bother them at all to just continue being patient with lost children. You got to be real careful with children. I'm not against giving them scripture, and because that's what I'm doing right now. Right? But what I am against is trying to convince them to thinking that they have something that they don't.
Right.
They need to tell me that they're saved. I can't tell them.
Amen.
And if they're not old enough to understand that, then I need to be patient and continue sowing the seed.
Yes, sir.
Continue carrying water. I don't need to, just for my number's sake. I had one guy in Albany, he said we had 22 decisions at Bible school this summer. I said, that's fascinating, that's wonderful. I said, so I guess your congregation number really jumped. He said, no, we're actually going backward. I said, well, where are the converts? He said, they don't go to church. I said, I don't know about you. I said, but according to my Bible, when you get saved, you don't get worse, you get better.
Right.
You don't get more unholy.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The truth, folks, tonight.
Yeah.
That's what will set us free.
Amen.
The truth. And you may be here tonight, and let me tell you something. There's going to be some powerful forces of pulling at vulnerable, weak souls in this county. It happens in every county. Hey, let me tell you something right now. What you've got here at Amazing Grace has been forged. It's been tried. It's solid. Are you perfect? Are we perfect? My church is a sister church to this church. Did you know that?
Right.
Harold Slavin was a constituting pastor. This church organized Gospel Independent Baptist Church. Actually, y'all's the mother church, Kevin. How you like that? You like sister better? Amen. Y'all birthed us into existence. Praise God. But Judas, he walked with the truth each and every, even every day. But guess what he did? He sold the truth for 30 pieces of silver. Pilate.
Yes.
He sold the truth too. He said, what is truth?
That's
unfortunate, isn't it? What is truth? A lot of folks have that attitude. They know better. But then they start kind of getting skeptical. I'll tell you what's taken over a lot of our young men is this podcast world. This podcast world, parents don't have no problem with them following Joe Rogan and some of these guys.
Go ahead.
That's not truth.
No.
Just because they might say a thing or two that sounds masculine and common sense, it don't mean that they know God at all.
Right.
Brother Mitchell used to say, he said, you wouldn't go digging through the trash can for an orange, would you?
Amen.
That's right. You remember that, Delmer? Yeah. A lot of our young ladies are being affected by this new culture, this new age culture. Listen here, we need to be getting affected by the truth.
Amen.
Too many young people getting married out of the will of God.
Right.
Moms and dads don't have a plan for their kids. I know when they get out of your house, they on their own. I understand that. But as long as they're in your house and you're paying their bills, that makes you their boss.
Amen,
amen, boys.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I appreciate my boys. So to come to a close tonight, I want to just leave this with you here. Y'all know how powerful that Romans 1 is. That should be scary to a lost and dying world in 2026. It really should. A world that's become tolerant of sodomy and transgenderism and all these things. You know, it talks about the judgment of them who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen here, that right there by definition is apostasy. When you study the book of Judges, it goes from apathy to apostasy, to anarchy.
Sure.
Amen. Because that's what happens. That's the order it goes in. Apathy. Apathy is knowing things ain't right and not really caring. You're not part of it, so you really don't have anything to say. Just, yeah, sure, if you're gay, then that's fine. Well, I don't believe in that, but you're good. You know, it'd be good if we had some families that actually went and talked to them and say, listen, I love you. This is real bad. Let me take God's word and show you.
Sure.
Be good if we had some people that knew how to stand. But apostasy is when you doggone know good and well this is wrong and you have no problem with it at all. And you do it just to spite God. This is the generation that seems like it's shaking its fist at the Lord. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart terribly. And I don't know what's to come. I asked some of these older preachers years ago, I said, how bad will it get before the tribulation period? And there's a couple of them that said, we'll think that we might be in it possibly. I said, well, that's concerning. That we won't, according to the Bible, that we've not been appointed to obtain wrath, but to obtain salvation. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad the Holy Ghost is still here. We felt him tonight. But this time that we're living, and I come here tonight, I know who your pastor is. I know what he's capable of. And yes, it is way easier to preach for other preachers than it is you, because God's blessed you with so much talent, and he's using it. And he's using it exactly how he's supposed to. Amen. So yes, coming up the mountain, it's very difficult because I know the truth that you hear. And so I just simply asked the Lord. I said, Lord, would you please, I know what Brother Kevin brings to the table. That's why I have him to come preach for me. Okay, that just makes sense, right? You get who you know can deliver the bread. I said, Lord, please just give me something where I can actually have a benefit to this pastor, to this congregation tonight. I'm not here to sensationalize anything to you. I ain't here to bring anything new. But maybe just for a minute or two, that maybe some mom, some dad, some child in here, maybe you could look and hear my voice and you could see maybe in the message that I've preached to you today that, listen, this is no practice life, that what you do, what you think, what you practice, it all matters. And you've got a Bible that will help you through everything.
Yeah,
amen. Prayer is how you talk to God, but this word is how he talks to you.
That's right.
And you can't live a Bible. You can't have success that you've not learned. And I had a lot of other scriptures I was wanting to give to you tonight, but I feel like the Lord's through with me, and I want to turn the service back over to Brother Kevin, and I want you to know that so many people look up to this church. They do. Feel blessed about what God's done in you and for you, and listen here. I'm the type of person, whenever I see something like this growing, y'all just getting started. Amen? Y'all just getting started. God's brought people in here that I never knew that would end up coming to this church. But listen here, ain't it a great place to be tonight? God's got special, special plans for this church because it does abide in truth and it has compassion. It's not self-righteous. It's right in his righteousness. And we're just trying to do our best. Amen? May God bless you tonight. Thank you, Brother Pastor. Please come here.